The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Hope you had yourself a great weekend. I was in Southern California being water polo dad. However, I was all over the ASU game on Saturday night. I did see Bill Walton eat the lit candle and Dave Pasch about lose his mind. I was interested in what happened with the Alliance, obviously, and saw some of the highlights as I drove back last night. Was trying to get some of the highlights on the radio side, but on the TV side, I was able to see when I got back into the Valley what happened there. Kurt Warner is going to be on today's show. We will talk with Kurt about a bunch of things. He's got this event coming up, game night this coming Friday with his wife. They're honoring Fitz. So it's a cool event on that front. I want to talk to him about Cliff Kingsbury, what his expectation is for the offense, and what he would do with the number one overall pick around the Arizona Cardinals. So Kurt Warner, 10:20 this morning. Otherwise, we have a wide open show. As I mentioned, I was in Southern California. It was rainy. It was cold. It was awesome to be a water polo dad, and I can't get enough of it. And then today, this afternoon, I'm wrestling dad. So it's just one sport to the next. Eric, you went to the Hot Shots game last night, and so you ended up living to tell about the Hot Shots game last night. You look fine today. You don't look like you were rode hard and put away wet, as I like to say.
Nah.
No?
It's just a game.
So we'll go further into this later in the show.
I'm a season ticket holder, so let's get one thing straight. I didn't just go to the game. I'm an Arizona Hot Shots season ticket holder.
You put bank down.
You
put bank down.
I make so much money here. You know, I have so much frivolous extra cash laying around that I had to get season tickets.
Are you taking a shot?
No.
Okay. That's good to hear, a season ticket holder. I'm very proud of you. You have a life outside of this.
In all seriousness, Brad, it reminded me last night being at that game of going to the USFL games with my dad when I was a little kid, and that was actually pretty cool.
But the USFL did not live.
No, but I mean...
Will this live?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't even think we can ask that question. It's been one game.
It's been one game, but is this a better time to start a league?
Like this I saw is a the great Mike, time to start a league.
I saw the Mike Bercovici hit on...
As did the rest of the world.
As the rest of the world on Saturday night. And it's if this league makes it, that will be the poster stamp of the league. If the league doesn't make it, that will be the poster stamp of the league.
I was most curious Saturday night because I was out, but I taped the game and watched a little bit of the San Diego-San Antonio game. I was really curious to see the brand of football.
Yeah.
And it's a good brand of football. The XFL was not a good brand of football. This is a league that's filled with guys that are a little too short, a little too slow.
Or they're hurt. They're coming back.
Right.
There's some guys in this league that have had some off-the-field stuff. Some guys are looking for last chance you.
I mean, Trent Richardson plays in the league. He was the number 3 overall pick of the Cleveland Browns. What, 5 years ago? Years ago?
And so what happened? He needs another chance.
He does.
Right?
I mean, Christian Hackenberg is the starting quarterback in this league. He stinks, but he is a starting quarterback in this league.
So you're already taking shots at players, poor guys.
I knew Christian Hackenberg was never making the NFL even when he was at Penn State.
Okay, so here's my thing. I'm always excited when new leagues come along. I've been very supportive through the years of soccer here, even before Rising. Before Rising, it was Arizona United, and I did their games for, you know, basically free because I wanted to make sure that soccer didn't die from a media standpoint. The last couple of years have been pushing and pushing and pushing. I think they're on their own now. I think they're fine. They don't need people like me coming along. In the case of the Hot Shots, they've got the NFL Network that showed their game last night. CBS is out there. They're putting big-time talent on television screens. They're getting reps, which those talents need. Troy Aikman and Tony Romo are not going to be doing these games. Jim Nantz is not going to be doing these games. But a guy like Adam Archuleta is getting his extra reps. He's getting his extra opportunities in the broadcast booth. So it's being presented in very good fashion. In fact, the NFL Network, actually the Alliance, this league is doing their TV pregame shows here in Scottsdale. right up the street from us. So it's not like they're in New York or they're in L.A. They're right here in Scottsdale. So Jordan was at the game last night, and here's some of what Jordan Hamm put together because he went out and shot the game. This is also up on the website if you want to check it out at sports360az.com.
This is just a fabulous experience to have a team that you meet for the first time on something like December 13th or 14th, whatever it was, meet them, have one practice, then go away for Christmas, come back and get on a plane on January 3rd, come back on January 31st with a team, having practiced a bunch of times in San Antonio, Texas, and then try to put it all together. It, you know, there are a lot of folks who say it can't be done, but it's incredible what can be done when you've got the right kind of pupils. And me and the rest of this staff have been nothing short of amazed at their willingness to keep learning, to want to learn more. What more can I do? And I think that's why this league is going to be hugely successful, because the players in this league have such buy-in. They want the opportunity to play the game they love. They want to get taught how to get to the next level and get all the little things that might have kept them from that dream. And for that, I mean, it's like the ultimate classroom setting for all of us as teachers. So really excited about that, excited about a win, excited about celebrating. It's been a long time since I celebrated. There's a lot of new songs that are out now that I'm learning, but it was a treat, I can tell you that.
All right, that's good stuff there from Jordan Hamm. Went and shot the game and to see the highlights and Coach Neuheisel there. This is I shouldn't say last chance. This is a big break for Rick Neuheisel. Rick Neuheisel has done a terrific job in the world of analyst. But I think Rick Neuheisel has the itch, as most coaches do, of getting back on the field and coaching. And for him to go in this league, Phil Savage is the general manager of the Hotshots. He has a very good reputation around the whole football landscape. I mean, for a first game, to me, just seeing the highlights and then talking with people about how their experience was. Like Eric came in this morning. He's perfect for this because he'll say it stinks. He's not going to come in here and just sugarcoat it and say, oh, it was all right. No, if it wasn't good, he would say so. And it sounds like you could be the type of person that would go sit in a focus group and say, you guys could do this better and that better. But really, you guys are way ahead of the game, right? I mean,
yeah, just like I told you, Brad, I was mostly concerned about the product. Like, okay, is this product going to be good or did I just completely waste my money? And everyone that was there, even though the crowd was small, the crowd was into it. Like, people had on their Hotshots gear and they stayed, and most of the crowd stayed until the entire end of the game. And it probably didn't help that it got pushed to a Sunday night.
Were they young or old?
Good question. Both. I think more
kids around.
Yeah, I saw some high school football players there.
Okay, high school players. Okay,
and,
okay, but like little
there were
kids.
There were a few little kids.
Yeah,
but there was the demographic was kind of split. Like it was.
This is not the type of group that would go to sit at a Cardinals game. Hat backwards, five beers, with the buds.
No,
no,
And it was. I don't know. This may sound odd, but it was sort of nice having space, because like if you go to, like, I don't know, the last time I was sitting in the stands at Sundale Stadium, it was for the Michigan State game, and it was like 190 degrees, and there was not one seat in the house, and the atmosphere was incredible. But it was like last night was just it was cool. It was like casual.
It was cold too. It was like in the high 50s, and
yeah, it wasn't
football weather.
Yeah, it was just a fun night. I mean,
all right. So
they struggled with the concessions. They only had like two concession stands open, so the lines were really long.
Yeah.
The in-game experience I thought was good, but there were some things that needed to be cleaned up, but it was the first run through.
I mean, if you're sitting here on a Monday and you want to talk and break down what happened to the Suns against Sacramento yesterday, anybody can do that.
Or just, you know, we could just replay the tape from the last 13 losses.
No, I mean the interesting story there, and I'll get into a little bit, was Marvin Bagley. That's fine. But my point is, in this town, you have to have staying power. And the pro sports are not going to go anywhere outside of the hockey team, for my view. And it's not that they're definitely going to leave, but until they get their ownership situation ironclad, nailed down, I thought Robert would use Vegas more, and then the vote passes, and, you know, Robert keeps putting out a product that gets their heads kicked in. You have Phoenix Rising, and I think Phoenix Rising is a very good brand, very good people, well-intentioned owners. Those fans will not go to see a Hot Shots game. And I don't think a Hot Shots fan are going to go over and see a Rising game. I'm not being critical of it. It's just the makeup of those games. I really might be too broad a brush to say a Hot Shots fan is not going to go to a Rising game. I don't think a Rising fan, if you're a fan of soccer, you're not a fan of football. Your football is with a round ball. That's just how it is. So can this work in this town? Of all the attendance of the games over the weekend, this was the lowest attended game. To Eric's point, it was on a Sunday night. I don't think that this was pushed down people's throats. There weren't billboards everywhere. And it was just enough to get off and running. What you don't want to do when you're doing a startup is you don't want the power to go off and you don't want to run out of hot dogs, right? And it's like when we first started doing this 7.5 years ago. You just start it brick by brick, and you're going to have bad days. You're going to have days where you feel like it's not going to happen, and then you just fight through it. And I know this as fact with the Hot Shots, that it's going to take time, that there's been some frustrating moments early on. I'm not going to go into details about it, but I just know this. I thought it was a win for the market more than anything else. Kurt Warner is on the other side. We'll talk with Kurt, switching gears over to the Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury, and what they should do with the number one overall pick in the draft, and much more as we continue on this Monday. Sports360AZ.com. There's plenty of content. Much more on the Hot Shots up on our website. We have a photo gallery, Jordan's piece, if you missed or want to see it again. There's so much more up on the site about that, as well as Diamondbacks pitchers and catchers getting started this week, and much more. Stay with us. Welcome back. As promised, Kurt Warner is joining us now. The Brenda and Kurt Warner Celebrity Game Night is coming up on Friday. It is an event that will be, well, I'll let Kurt tell you all about it. It's different. It's unique. It's in the space. They're honoring Larry Fitzgerald. I want to know what all this is about. It's at the Van Buren. Here is the Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner. How are you?
I'm good, Brad. How are you?
Good. Fire away on this Celebrity Game Night. What are we doing here, Kurt?
You know, we wanted to create an event, obviously, for Treasure House, for our newest foundation, but wanted it to be different. We wanted it to be interactive, you know, with the audience members and the celebs that are coming. So if you think about, you know, Price is Right and Hollywood Game Night, and that's kind of what it is that, you know, intermixed with, you know, what we're talking about with Treasure House and raising money, we're going to have great prizes that we give away as audience members come up and play games with us. So we're going to call them down from the audience, and you know, they might do it on their own. They might team up with a celeb. The celebs might be up there on their own playing. And so it's just kind of a fun, interactive environment, low key. It's our second annual. We did it last year, and it was received extremely well. But you know, the design behind it is whenever family comes over, or we have you know, gatherings at the house, it's always around playing games, and it creates laughter and memories, and we have a blast doing it, and everybody can get involved, and that's really what we tried to do, is take our living room and extend it out to the community, all while raising money for our latest foundation, which is Treasure House, which is a community living facility in Glendale for young adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
That's cool. That's cool. I mean, you guys do an awful lot. So is this replacing what you usually do in March out of the facility?
No, I have that as well.
Still doing
the Ultimate Football Experience that we'll be doing this year in March as well. So, that helps us do some of the other things that we do and programs that we do in the community, and then this one benefits Treasure House.
This sounds like it could be a pilot for a TV show, by the way.
I don't know about a TV show, but yeah. I'm hoping that it's a staple in the Valley for for years to come, and we can continue to try to impact people and families like ours for years to come.
It is the Brenda and Kurt Warner Celebrity Game Night, Friday, February 15th. It's at the Van Buren, and Larry Fitzgerald will be part of the proceedings as well.
Well, we're going to celebrate Larry. Last year we celebrated Shane Doan, so he's involved. Some of the games are tied around him, and so Larry's going to be there this year. And so if anybody wants to find out more or buy tickets, you can just go to treasurehouse.org/game night.
Kurt Warner with us. Cliff Kingsbury, the fact of Josh Rosen development, Larry returning. There's just a lot around the Cardinals. So pick one of those topics or all of them off the board and give me your $10,000 view of where the Cardinals are with all of this, Kurt.
Well, I mean, I think there's excitement having Cliff Kingsbury as the head coach, young, offensive-minded guy, you know, an area where they struggled last year to really find themselves. Of course, you got a young quarterback, but, still needs to be work done, in my opinion, you know, offensively, and not just scheme-wise, but got to shore up that offensive line. Got to find some other weapons on the outside. I know Larry's back for another year, but nobody really knows how long that's going to be. And, I think you need to find some more weapons. Of course, you got David in the backfield as well. So I think there's some pieces there. I think you have some good pieces on defense. But, you know, I think there's excitement to see if Cliff can be, you know, the next Sean McVay, as everybody says, you know, the young guy that comes in with the energy and the scheme and can turn things around really quickly. I think there's excitement from that standpoint. I'm intrigued by it and got a chance to meet Cliff a couple months ago and enjoyed my time with him. So pulling for him and hope that he can make some quick changes there. As far as Larry, you know, I've talked to him over the last two or three years, and it seems to be, you know, one of those situations where as long as he feels good and feels like he can play at a certain standard and be an integral part of what a team does, specifically, obviously, here at the Cardinals, what the Cardinals do, that I think he's going to play. So I don't feel like this necessarily has to be the end, even though we've kind of gone 1 year to 1 year to 1 year. I think a lot's going to be dictated by, you know, how things go this year and how he feels after this year. But I think it's great because I think they need his leadership and guidance and energy that he brings to the field as they try to figure out how they're going to replace him when that time comes.
Did the Kingsbury hire, Kurt, surprise you?
Yeah, it surprised me. I think it just surprised me as much as anything based on what happened last year. You know, that you hired a first-time coach, even though it was a coach that had been in the league for a while and is extremely well-respected, and it didn't go well. And you realized, okay, he wasn't the right guy. We didn't really know everything about him because he had never been here before, so we need to, you know, cut ties and move on because it's not the right fit. And then to come back and hire another guy that's kind of in that same mold that we don't really know, although he's been a head coach before, we don't really know everything that goes into what he brings and what he's going to be like at this level. And so I was surprised from that standpoint that you kind of thought, well, maybe they'll go out and get somebody that's a little more established, that's been there, so they wouldn't have anything that transpired this year transpire again. But I tip my hat to the Cardinals organization, you know, first to admit that it wasn't the right hire and to move on, I think is a huge step to have to make at that time, and then not to, you know, put it into a box and say we have to go this route. If you feel like this young guy is the right guy and he's got what it takes, and he's the right hire, then you go get him, now, regardless of what, you know, he may not have or what you may not know about his background. So you give them credit. You know, the hope now is just that it's the right fit. We'll be talking about it 10 years from now and how bold they were to go out and make this move.
Do you believe, Kurt, that Cliff Kingsbury can develop Josh Rosen because the number one pick is sitting there and everybody's got an opinion on what they should do with the number one overall pick, especially with Kyler Murray out there or others and others? Let's just start with the development relationship of Kingsbury offensively with Josh Rosen.
Well, I mean, I think Josh has, you know, a lot of room to grow. I think he's got to get more comfortable in the position and at this level. But obviously Cliff has done a great job with a lot of different quarterbacks at the college level. And, you know, whether it's scheme or whether it's just working with those guys, he's had a lot of success with different guys. And so, but that's obviously got to be, maybe not priority number one, but very high on the list of what you have to do as a head coach is you've got to develop that position, you know, and you have to assume it's going to be Josh. I would be really surprised if they went a different direction at quarterback, even after 1 year. But that's going to be a big part of it, is you got to have that guy to compete in this business. And, you know, when you look at the division, you know, everybody's got that guy. So you've got to be able to develop that and figure that out if you're the head coach, if you want to compete week in and week out and year in and year out in the West.
Your son's at Nebraska. Bosa's at Ohio State. You're in the same conference. You've seen enough of him to make a determination, number one overall pick in Bosa coming here, or go a different direction?
Yeah, I haven't watched enough. I don't watch enough college football, as you said. I watched Nebraska and who they played this year.
Right.
And then I catch some things outside of that. I'll get into my scouting of these quarterbacks here in the short term as we get ready for the combine and the draft. But, I don't know. I mean, I think the bottom line is if you're going to the number one pick, you got to feel like he's a difference maker in that pass rush type area. You know, I don't know if you can go get a guy that is just a good player with the number one pick that can't rush the passer. Obviously, he can do that, but you have to feel like he's going to be an upper echelon guy because that's what this business has become about. As much as anything, it's about finding those elite guys and those guys that can rush the passer, because you got to be able to have one of those passers and you got to be able to rush the passer, I believe, to really compete in this business. I'm not educated enough to make that determination on who's all out there and who would be the best fit. But I know with that pick, it doesn't come around very often. So you got to get that guy that you believe is going to be a staple for a long time.
How'd your son Cade do with Scott Frost in year one?
He did great. He was just a walk-on redshirt freshman, and about week three or four of the season, they weren't happy with their receiving room outside of a couple guys, Stanley Morgan and J.D. Spielman, which are two really good college players. So they kind of opened up the third spot for everybody and said, we're going to compete all week and we're going to grade everybody, and whoever gets the highest grade is going to start next week. And he ended up winning that job and started the rest of the year. I think he ended up with 19 catches or 20 catches.
Good.
So
yeah,
his role wasn't huge, but for a redshirt walk-on freshman that was brought in by another staff, I think he earned the right to be on the field, and he played well, and he blocked well, and he made some big catches when they needed him to. And so it was really a great year for him. I'm so proud of him because nothing was given to him, and mm-hmm. he worked his butt off to earn everything and showed them that they could count on him. I told him throughout the year, he went and played in the Big House and some other places, and I was just saying, hey, you're doing things right now that I never was able to do. You're accomplishing some things, and that's what he wanted. He could have gone some different places, but he chose to go to a big school and play in the Big Ten because he wanted to compete against the best, and he wanted to play in those kind of environments. And here he is just in his second year, getting a chance to start in those environments. So I'm extremely proud of him and looking forward to what the future may have.
Yeah, and dad to dad, you've got another one coming or two. How many more do you have in high school?
I've got another son that's a freshman.
Quarterback?
What's that? He's a quarterback, or wants to be anyways. We got a lot of work to do. He's got some great traits about him that I'm excited to see if they'll develop and if he'll have a career playing as well.
Desert Mountain, you going to keep coaching?
He just transferred recently to Brophy.
He's at Brophy, okay.
So he's at Brophy, and so we'll see. I know John Kitna was there last year, and they've got they're going through the process, I believe, of finding a new guy there. And so I'm hoping to stay involved. I'd love to continue to coach and coach my little guy and help other young men if it's in the plans.
Be the head coach at Brophy, Kurt. You've got time.
I don't know about the head coaching job. I'm not sure I want to deal with the parents and that part that goes into it.
Oh, come on. It's fun.
I just want to coach the kids.
Yeah.
And teach them, and I look forward to hopefully having that opportunity in years to come.
Have fun with Celebrity Game Night. Appreciate the time and the visit and getting caught up as always. I'll see you down the road.
All right. Sounds good, Brad. Thanks a lot.
There's Kurt Warner with us. Always good to catch up with Kurt, NFL Network, and Westwood One, and Celebrity Game Night. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. So over the weekend, with the birth of the Alliance, they actually get out onto the field. This play with Mike Bercovici, the former Arizona State Sun Devil quarterback, this play for him at quarterback with the San Diego Fleet, this hit will go down in infamy. The helmet flies off. Didn't see it coming. Now, we know this. Eric, this would be a penalty on NFL Sundays, right?
Not just a penalty. I'm thinking this could be a penalty, a targeting, an ejection, a fine. And there was no flag thrown on this play.
And this is what fans like to see.
I totally agree. You should have seen some of the Twitter feedback of people saying, wow, I remember this was the NFL 5 or 6 years ago when they could actually hit quarterbacks and the game was violent in a safe way.
I'm just like thinking that play on its own merit will get a lot more run this week on shows. Mike will show up on some shows somewhere to market the league. They needed something because remember the XFL had He Hate Me, right? And that was it. This actually had football being played over the weekend where I looked at it and said, at least the highlights, like I think that fans will gravitate to this. Not in big numbers. If you're going to be one of those that expects games to be sold out, I would disagree with you on that. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, first of all, I think Mike Bercovici deserves a lot of credit because he got up from that hit. He did not miss any game time, and he proved that he is the same tough guy that he was at ASU. Secondly, I think starting the league when they did was probably their most brilliant marketing strategy, like the Super Bowl. And guess what? Next weekend, there's no football. Oh, wait, there is football. And they had it nice and spread out, so you had a game, two games each day that didn't overlap, so you didn't have games competing against one another. And for the most part, I thought it was a pretty successful debut.
Talking about the hot shots, Eric is, of course, a season ticket holder. If you did not know this, we do have jobs and lives outside of here. You consumed it. You liked it. You have two season tickets. What was it you liked most about the hot shots and the experience?
The product. I thought the football, for the most part, was good. Yeah, there were some wrinkles that still need to be ironed out. But for a group of players that have not been together very long, and for a game that is truly bred in its infancy,
yeah.
I mean, these guys just started. They played, I guess, a couple preseason games in San Antonio, but nobody knew what to expect last weekend. And for the most part, I thought it was pretty decent.
Was the caliber of football what you expected? I mean, going in as a fan, as a consumer, you're putting down your money, Eric. Was it what you expected it to be?
It did. It was. And I sort of reckon back to the time when I was a little kid and my dad used to take me to the USFL games. And if you remember, Brad, a lot of great players came out of the USFL, Jim Kelly, Herschel Walker. This was a different brand, but in a way, it sort of reminded me of spring football back in the day when I was a little kid.
Okay, so Rick Neuheisel puts a product on the field. We have to give him credit, right, for getting them to play hard. It looked to me like they were well organized. Some of the rules, the defensive penalty, the eye in the sky, tell me about that just as a fan and watching it.
I don't completely understand all the rules. I know that you can only blitz a certain number of players, and yeah. I think the hot shots got burned, no pun intended, by some flags because they had an extra person blitzing, or they looped, or some sort of they ran a scheme that's not allowed.
Okay.
And I think for once they get that kind of ironed out, I love some of the new rules. I love the fact that there are no kickoffs. I love the short TV timeouts. I love the game clock is only 35 seconds. So you're seeing more plays and there's right. less dead time. It's great.
So the game took what, 2.5 hours?
2 hours and 40 minutes.
2 hours and 40 minutes. So as a fan, you get there. And sure, the place was not sold out. It's week number one.
Not even close.
Not even close. But were these fans like diehards, loyals, geared up, really into it?
They were pretty geared up. And not a lot of people left early, considering it was a Sunday night game and it was a little bit chilly. I was pretty surprised to see that the fans stuck it out. And the coolest thing about it was the players were really interested in playing.
Yeah.
There was intensity down on the field. It didn't have the feel of a NFL preseason game. And it was just cool. And I only think the league's going to get better as it goes.
Okay, so now you can just throw me under the bus here because they're 1-0. They play Memphis this week. Memphis isn't good.
They're not good.
Memphis didn't score.
They did not.
Mike Singletary is their coach. It's a road game. The hot shots are going to be 2-0.
Christian Hackenberg is their quarterback.
He wasn't good.
Need I say more?
He wasn't good. How many teams? So So it's the Memphis Express, the Orlando Apollos.
I don't know all the names.
The
San Diego Fleet.
San Diego Fleet.
Salt Lake City Stallions, or the Salt Lake Stallions.
San Antonio Commanders?
Correct.
Oh, gosh, I'm blanking on Atlanta. And they were just on. But no, regardless, this is fun for everybody. And I think your point off the top about how, look, the week after the Super Bowl, people still wanted football. The game the Hot Shots put on Sunday night did draw a national rating number. It did air on the NFL Network. It didn't get the big national number that Saturday night got. Was that because Steve Spurrier was back on display? I think it was. I mean, I think there's some appeal here. If you have Rick Neuheisel coaching against Steve Spurrier, you're going to have people that are going to watch. I truly believe that. All right. So from there, let's shoot over. I got some basketball stuff on my mind here. And actually, take a break, and we'll do the basketball stuff on the other side. Sports360AZ.com, our television show, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, on Fox Sports Arizona, 12 airings per week. We are self-funded. That means the sponsors you're about to see believe in us. We appreciate their support through the years, 7.5 years now, getting this done. Now back to the news at hand on a Monday, and that is the Suns lost again. Where do you want me to start on this, guys? They've lost 14 straight. Usually people just shy away from even addressing this in the sports world because, oh, we don't want the tune-out factor. No, we don't just pay attention to when teams win. That is called being front runners and bandwagon jumpers. When a team stinks like the team that we have here now, it's actually more fun because today you can debate. You can debate, should the Suns have taken Marvin Bagley over DeAndre Ayton? In my humble opinion, the answer was no. And again, last night, the answer was no. Even though Marvin Bagley last night torched the Suns. Marvin Bagley, by the way, those are bad-looking unis for the Kings. I don't know what they were doing, what those were. I listened to most of this broadcast from the Kings Network on Sirius driving home yesterday from California. And it was no contest. Marvin Bagley had 32. It was his first time meeting the Suns. So he said there was the usual extra incentive to play against his hometown team. DeAndre Ayton, on the other hand, I didn't even hear his name mentioned the first quarter and a half. And so the Suns got boat raced by Sacramento. Why does this mean anything? Because the Kings have the longest drought of missing the playoffs in the NBA. The last time there was a playoff game in Sacramento was 2005. They're a half game back of the playoffs right now, which would mean our beloved hometown heroes known as the Suns would have the honor of not having a playoff game here for, it'll be 10 years. It'll be 10 years, guys. So they got drilled by 13. And Marvin Bagley had his way with DeAndre Ayton for 32. He was inside and he was outside. The Suns have lost 14 straight. The team record is 15. They have 2 days to prepare themselves for a game against the Clippers. It's the last game before the All-Star break. If they lose that game, team record 15 losses. Eric, over under, we put money on this. I'm saying they lose. I'm saying they...
They lose. I say they lose. Are you like all about just hating on DeAndre Ayton like everyone else is? No,
not hating on DeAndre Ayton.
No, he is averaging 17 points and 11 rebounds, and he's shooting almost 60% from the field and almost 80% from the line.
Okay, go run those numbers the last 5 games.
It's a long season.
I would say the last 5 games he hasn't been very good.
It's a long season.
Exactly. Well, it's like people. I'll spin this on you. Everybody who says Devin Booker is one of the top 10 players in the NBA, just stop, because he's not. Oh, well, he scored 70 in one game. Let me fill you in on something. When you're on a bad team, you're going to shoot. I'm not overly – if they traded Devin Booker today in the right package, I'm fine with it.
I think Booker falls more in the 11 to 20 top player of
maybe.
The league range.
Maybe.
I don't think he's a megastar. I think he's a star, but I don't think he's an
– Agreed.
I don't think he's an elite level.
No.
I don't think he's a KD. I don't think he's a Greek freak. I don't think
– Klay Thompson?
I don't think – I think Klay he's
Thompson?
Comparable. I think he's comparable to Klay Thompson.
Okay.
I don't think he's Steph Curry.
Okay, he's missed 14 games this year. They've played 55 games. Do the math. That's about one every fourth game he's not there on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so there's that too. And, oh, wow, it's amazing. The players have so much control in this league. It's coming. It's in a couple years or a year, it's going to be, I want out of Phoenix. It's coming.
And the Suns have lost 14 straight games, Brad, and it's like complete white noise. It's just like,
sure.
It's like,
okay, so am I hating on Devin Booker about that? No, I'm not. I just think that when people sit here and go gaga over players on bad teams, somebody's got to shoot the ball.
But I still think Devin Booker would be a really good player on a really good team.
I think he'd be a good player. Really good? I don't know
I think he'd be a really good player. I don't think he'd be an elite level player, but I think he's I think he's a second tier star on the Suns or on any other team.
But no, on the Suns he's the star.
Right, but league-wide I still think he's a second tier star.
Yes. No, I would say there's probably 20 players I would take in front of him. Probably.
I'd have to look. That seems like a pretty high number, but I think he's somewhere between 10 and 20.
I think when they say we're building around our stars of the future, like TJ Warren hasn't been on the floor in a while, and TJ Warren is not a star player, but TJ Warren is a very good complementary player.
I agree.
And Josh Jackson has played better recently.
I think he's a good NBA player.
But when I go back to the Woj podcast and he just flat reports the Suns had a deal lined up, all they had to do was trade Josh Jackson to the Knicks for Porzingis, and it's Woj reporting that. It's not somebody throwing darts against the wall or my sources are telling me. I mean, that's how that doesn't happen here is just stunning.
Well, the Suns didn't get David Robinson. They almost got Steph Curry, but they didn't get Steph Curry. I mean, that sort of just kind of goes back in the franchise annals of near misses. So,
yeah, the Steph Curry one, I'll give them credit. I'll give Steve Kerr credit because that was Amari. That should have been Amari, and I think there was a deal done, and Don Nelson woke up the next morning and said, yeah, I don't think we're going to
exactly.
do that.
Like, are you sure?
But like in LaMarcus Aldridge's case, LaMarcus Aldridge, if I'm to believe everything around that one, there was family in San Antonio. I heard a great antidote from Woj about LaMarcus Aldridge that Pat Riley met with LaMarcus Aldridge at the very last moment and put in his head, you know, you can do in San Antonio what you can do in Miami. So he didn't refer to Phoenix. And so in his head it was San Antonio. He left that meeting and said, I'm going to San Antonio.
Yeah.
And so, they're in the batter's box taking swings and missing. But man, when we get to this point, you're right about the white noise and why I spend segments on this team. I'm not going to say I don't know, because I know that deep down that people do care.
It's a Suns town. I mean, people aren't going to want to hear that, but it's a Suns town. So
what do you do with Sean Miller? So Sean Miller's in a space. If you're U of A, I don't know what the answer is to get them out of the situation that they're in, other than, is it just time to say, we gave this everything possible? The NCAA has looked into us. Outside the Line showed up last Thursday. When Outside the Line shows up at your games, it's not there to do a, hey, what great uniforms we have, or what sells at the concession stand. When Mark Schwartz walks in to do a piece, the piece is not going to be all happy. It's just not.
And Miller kind of walked off early from his media availability after the game, after he was questioned about it. Basically, like, took a couple questions. A non-basketball question came up about the sanctions and everything that's going on. He's like, I'm not really answering that. Bye. Boop, boop. Yeah. And then you lose at home to Washington State.
And they weren't even competitive. It's like the ASU lost to Washington State.
The Pac-12 sucks so bad. Like, it's just such
Wow, that's harsh.
It's just a bad basketball.
That's harsh.
It is. It's a bad basketball conference.
Do you don't think that Washington, it was just ripe for them? A team that may have just gone about their business. One of their players wasn't healthy.
Washington is barely in the top 50 in KenPom. Barely in the top 50.
I don't care what KenPom says.
He knows what's going on.
I don't care.
Okay.
Jerry Palm, Ken Palm, palms up, palms down. I'm fine.
I just go by what metrics the NCAA tournament uses, and I trust the people that know college basketball a lot more than I do. And so when all the coaches keep referring to their Ken Palm rating, I'm going to go refer to the Ken Palm rating, and I think Washington is standby.
Just go win. You can't worry about an outside metric.
37th. Washington is 37th. So the best.
Where's Arizona State?
Arizona State is 64th.
Okay, so they're right there. If they go out on the road and they get jack stomped by Colorado and Utah, you know that's going to kill them. They've got to, essentially, ASU has got to win because beating Washington the other night helps them.
Arizona is 85th in KenPom.
And they're not going to get any better.
Sandwiched between BYU, UConn, and UNC Greensboro. Yikes.
Yeah. No, and then there's GCU. GCU, they did not play well over the weekend. I'll give them a break on Thursday night at home, looking ahead to New Mexico State. You can laugh all you want about this, but it's just a fact. New Mexico State owns GCU. They do. Until they get to until GCU is able to beat New Mexico State, they're going to be a team that's outside looking in. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. Do it with life insurance. Guys, if you've not taken a good, long, hard look at your personal situation, when was the last time you did that? Is everything protected top to bottom? And there's so much more financially that you could learn about, become literate about, or log onto their website and get involved with the conversation for your personal well-being. If you weren't to come home tonight, is everything handled? Very simple question to ask. It's not a scare question. It's very simple. It's either yes or no. Maybe, or I'll get to it later. Really? You understand that when things happen, you know when it's going to happen? Really? I'll get to it later. Log on, Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. There's plenty of content up on the website, sports360az.com, or Arizona-centric. Make sure you log in over there, and our television show, of course, is on Fox Sports Arizona. We appreciate the partnership. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ with Fox Sports Arizona. Have a great Monday.